White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. As time passed, we settled down to the daily routine, dividing the cooking and housekeeping and taking it in turns to be district nurse. We also organized housekeepers, a squad of two each day. One would get the only tin hat we own full of water and, with an old rag, wash the tiled floor throughout the house. It's a tricky business, as the tin was liable to overbalance.
Toot that barge, lift that veil, get a little drunk.
You're very gay, Blanchie.
Oh, why not? Whistle while you work and all that. Don't you walk over that wet floor, Dale, or I'll skin you. Oh, darn.
What's up?
Oh, this tin hat is an infuriating bucket. Tips up if you look at it.
Yeah, I know. I've had some of it.
Oh, oof, it's hot.
Hi, Blanchie. Hey, what's happened?
Oh, the tin hat's gone over again and spilled all the water.
Oh, isn't it maddening? And I hate to tell you, but our taps have been turned off.
Oh, no.
Afraid so. You'll have to go down to the bottom of the hill and queue up.
Well, wouldn't it?
Hello, girls.
Hello, Rin.
Hello, Rin.
Oh, well, I've dusted the antique bedroom, the ancestral hall, and now I've had it. Oh, Blanchie, you haven't spilled the water.
I have.
Oh, never mind. Well, I'll come down and help you carry some up the hill. Our taps are turned off.
I know, Jeff just told me.
Only wash the masker. What are you starry pigs doing?
Attending a garden party.
Cleaning up.
So that is good. I will give you more cleaning up. Your clean drain which runs outside house.
Oh, how lovely. There's nothing I love more than cleaning out drains.
I've been just waiting to get at that. Now, when can we start?
We'll start now. Come here. You.
Me?
We'll come with me and get Chunkle.
She will go with you and get the pip.
Also, to teach you to keep your mouth shut. Well, yo, come with me.
Oh, they're losing their grip. That didn't even nearly knock me out.
Well, it should have. Looked like a golf swing.
Oh, well, this won't get the floor washing done. I'll go down and get the water.
Well, I'd come with you, but I've got to see about cooking this rice. You know, I can't make up my mind whether to cream it, curry it, cook it with prawns, or just for a change, boil it.
You just get it cooked. I'm getting hungry.
Whoops! Oh, sorry, Blanchie. Oh,
that's all right. I've been knocked over by experts.
Rean, what in the name of heaven is that?
That, my dear Sister Jeffrey, is a chonkol.
Ah, don't they have fancy names for things? To me, it looks like an outsized hoe. Is it as heavy as it looks?
Mm, heavy is right. Oh, well, I'd better get on with it. See you later, Jeff.
So we had another job added. The idea was to put the hoe into the drain and drag it along. It was terribly heavy and disgustingly smelly work,
But we made the best of it, never letting the Japs see that we didn't like doing it. One day, Dell was very busy going to and fro from the house on some mysterious mission. On her third trip, I caught up with her and asked her what was going on. Hey, Dell! Hey, Dell, wait a minute!
Who's calling?
Me, Jeff!
Ha! Hello, what's happened? House on fire?
No, I want to know what you're up to.
I'm making myself a bed.
You're doing what?
Making myself a bed.
What out of?
Well, I found some old fruit cases, or pieces of fruit cases. Now, I brought them up to the house, and I'm now going to put them together again.
Well, can I help you?
Sure. Here we are. Now, if we can get the side back onto this one.
We haven't got any nails.
Oh, there are enough on the ends of the board.
Well, you're the boss. Have you got a hammer?
Yeah, this piece of wood. Now, you hold that there.
Okay.
That's it. Now, I'll just hammer that nail.
Right.
Ow!
What's up?
Oh, you hit my thumb.
Well, take it out of the way.
Ah, that's good. Now the other one.
You hold this one. I'll do the hammering.
Oh, not on your life. I've seen your wild axe work.
Look, I don't see how you're going to...
Well, hang on. I can't hear. Ah, that looks good. Now, what were you saying, Jeff?
I don't see how you're going to make a bed out of it.
Oh, simple. Look, I put one about here, and one here, and the third one in the middle.
I still don't see how you'll make a bed out of it.
Well, look, silly, I sit on the middle one, so. Carelessly throw the legs up onto the end one, so. I lie back with my head on the other end one, so.
Oh, but Dell, that looks awfully uncomfortable.
After the floor, it's heaven. It supports the three main points of the body, the head, the feet, and the posterior.
Well, you've made your bed, you lie on it.
Don't worry, I will.
What's going on in here?
Oh, hello, Reed. Dell's just made herself a bed.
Oh, good for you, Dell. Where is it?
I'm sitting on it.
You mean that packing case?
Oh, that's not the only part of it. There is the rest of it. There.
Two more cases. Well, how does it work?
Oh, like this, see? Oh. Wait a bit. Little one slipped. There.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
That's it.
A sort of three-point landing job.
There's no need to be rude. You're just jealous, that's all.
Kids, I have a wonderful piece of news for you.
What is it, Blanchie?
This will take you to the heights of ecstasy, lifting you from the trough of despair and downhearted dispiritedness. This, my dears, will put wings to your feet, gladden your heart, and bring celestial stars shimmering from great heights into your eyes.
Don't look now. The strain has at last caught up with dear old Blanchie.
Do you think we'd better order a straitjacket, or should we just brain her with part of Dell's bed?
You leave my bed out of this.
I see a look of doubt.
You see a look of astonishment.
You look at me with the eyes of an unbeliever.
Now just take it calmly, dear, and tell us what all this is about.
My lips can hardly frame the words.
Take your teeth out.
Tomorrow is a day of joyous celebration when the hearts of all of us shall beat a little faster. For tomorrow...
Yes?
Is the Emperor of Japan's birthday.
Oh, joyous day. Ah, that I were free to take him a couple of birthday presents that I could think of.
And no doubt his imperial representatives will bedeck our quarters with cherry blossoms, our board will groan with rich foods, and soft music will soothe us to a sleep filled with dreams of better things.
Better than what?
Oh, that's what I like about Dell, the poetic soul.
Is this fair dinkum, Blanchie?
It is. And the great day is to be celebrated with a salute of many guns and a small ration of fruit for His Imperial Highness's guests.
Meaning us? Meaning us. That'll mean we'll get half a green banana each.
Well, it's my birthday soon. Do you think there'll be any celebrations for me?
Oh, I'm sure we'd only have to let the Japs know and they'd turn on a blossom festival.
No. I want nothing extravagant. Just a salute from the Australian Navy with all their guns pointed towards Tokyo, fully loaded. That night, as we got ourselves into our Palembang night attire, everybody teased Dell about her bed. She took no notice, but set it up with great care and carefully installed herself on it. The rest of us lay down on the tiled floor and tried to sleep.
Oh, I don't know if the floor's getting harder or my bones are sticking out, but I
cannot get comfortable.
Oh, I can't sleep either. Hey, Dell, how's the bed working out?
Just fine. Couldn't be more comfortable. Good night, kids.
Good night. Don't try and turn over or you'll fall off.
You know, I do believe she's gone to sleep. Though, how on earth she swings on that thing?
It's psychological. It must be. It can't be because it's comfortable.
Ooh.
Oh, well, good night, kids.
Good night, Blanchie.
Good night, Reed.
Night.
Oh, blast that guard. Why can't they tramp up and down somewhere else? Look, he's right outside the open window. The guard just leant on the window and shone his torch in all our faces until any of us who had managed to doze were fully awake. Dell had put her bed below the open window, and at first the torch beam missed her and she slept peacefully on. Then the probing finger of light found her and danced up and down as the Jap peered to find out what she was sleeping on. And then he shone the torch full in her face and kept it there until it woke her.
Oh, what's the matter, huh? What's going on? Turn off that
shut
light!
Up, shut up. It's one of the Nipsies shining a torch on you.
Oh, listen, you lop-eared, pie-eyed, yellow-skinned son of a diseased camel, you war-eyed son of a pink-nosed baboon! If you don't turn that ruddy torch off, I'll take it and wrap it round your unwashed little neck, do you hear me? You're a strung-up, never-come-down, lily-livered, underbred, warty-nosed, half-bred apology of a louse!
Oh,
don't! Take that light out of my face or I'll bloomin' well knock your slit eye through the back of your head! Take it off me, do you hear? Or do you want me to knock your teeth down your slimy, lying throat? Oh, I'd like to kick you so hard you wouldn't be able to straighten up for a week and you couldn't sit down for a month. Now, will you get that blasted, rotten light out of my face?
You wouldn't really like to do all that to me, would you, sister?
Oh, dear. Oh, that was wonderful.
I'll bet he's never been told off like that before in all his life.
One who could understand.
Did you see which one it was, Dell? Would you know him again?
I didn't see a thing with that damn light in my eyes.
Oh, Lord, now we'll never know.
Sorry, kids. Just did me lolly. They don't take it out on any of you.
Don't be silly, it'll be worth it.
Well, it's no use worrying about it, I suppose.
Let's see if we can go back to sleep. Good night, Elfie.
Good night.
Oh, I like that bit about Loppy and Lily. You must teach me that, Dell.
Oh, shut up, Reen. Go back to sleep.
We settled down to sleep again, still chuckling over Dell's outburst. I suppose it was because she's always been such a calm one that we got such a shock when she let go. Anyway, we didn't hear any more about it, and we never knew which Jap guard it was. It had one good effect, though. We weren't worried quite so often by them flashing lights in our eyes and tramping up and down. For a little while, we were left in peace. As we got more organized with house captains and cooking and cleaning squads, so we got method in the collecting and dividing of rations. Whoever was on duty would go out into the street which ran down the center of the camp and collect the rations for the house. It meant dividing, adding, subtracting and multiplying, cajoling and threatening, so that everyone started off with the same portion per head. It became a work of art to share one small piece of dried fish among 30-odd people, or to make a meal out of one-third of an egg. Whoever was on ration duty ended up an exhausted wreck when it was all over.
Well, I'm glad I only have to collect for one house. I'd hate to be a rationing officer and try to divide it up for the whole camp.
Well, I suppose we'll all have a turn of it in time. Have you got the basket ready, Blanchie?
All set. I found a cigarette tin without many dents in it. We won't lose much rice now.
I wish it was a tin of 50 instead of 20.
Imagine what would happen to us if we came down with a nice big tin like that.
As it is, everyone glares at us to make sure we don't get an extra grain. And I hate being glared at in 27 different languages.
Are there really 27 different nationalities here?
There are. But we all have one thing in common.
Huh? What's that?
To see the Japanese defeated.
Hey, stop pushing.
You next, Sister Blanche.
Oh, thank heavens. As we only think we'd be here till Christmas.
Good morning, Sister Driff.
Good morning. How's it working out today?
Ah, always such scramble, but we manage. Now, 24 in your house, is it not?
Yes, that's right. Here's our little tin.
So, now we dip it in, fill it, and level it. That is one. Now two.
Is the rice any better today?
No, it's very dirty, full of stones and glass. You will have to hand pick it.
Well, how on earth does it get stones and glass in it?
That is four, is it not?
Yes.
The Japs use these bags of rice instead of sandbags. So, of course, they have the debris of bombing raid in them. They burst and the rice is then swept up again off the streets, put back into the bags, then given to us to eat.
I wondered why it was so filthy. Well, what are the latest rumors, Mrs. Brookhouse?
Ah, nothing new. Still that we are to be exchanged for other prisoners. And they say Banker Island has been retaken by the British.
If only that were true.
Just rumor.
Wonderful how they start, isn't it? It's an amazing thing about camp rumors. Something is always about to happen in about a week or so ahead.
Yes, but somehow it never comes off.
Ah, but it keeps up the interest. There, that's your Russian.
Thank you, Mrs. Brookhouse. Come on, Jeff.
Hi, kids. Want a hand of the basket?
Jenny, my dear, I could carry this on my little finger. There weren't any vegetables today.
Oh.
Well, I think we'd better spread the rice out and pick it over.
What for?
Mrs. Brookhouse said that it's full of broken glass and stones.
Well, that's nice. What's the idea of that? Extra bulk in our diet?
We could spread it out here on the front porch.
Well, I'll get the cooking pot.
All right,
as we sort it, we can put it straight into that for washing. By the time we picked over our ration of rice, grain by grain, and got all the rubbish out of it, we found we had less rice than stones and fine pieces of glass. We soon got used to it, though, as it became a daily chore. One of the English lasses in our house was very good at this job. She seemed to have the patience of Job. She'd been a mannequin who'd modelled for Norman Hartnell. She was a lovely-looking girl, but had a kink about keeping her figure. She really had no need to worry, as the diet we were on was rapidly giving all of us a snake-like figure.
Oh, I'd like threepence for every grain of rice I've handled in the last few weeks.
Would you two like a break?
Rin and I have come over to take over for a while.
Oh, I would. What about you, Mary?
Yes, thanks, Jeff. It's time I went for a walk.
What on earth do you want to go for a walk for, Mary?
I must do a certain amount of exercise to keep my figure.
Oh, you're crazy. It's one thing you don't have to worry about. Nobody could get fat on what we have to eat.
We're all losing weight. Even Tweedle's getting sylph-like.
She's positively fading away. You know, she was 13 stone when we first came here.
And she's nothing like that now, so I don't think I'd worry if I were you, Mary.
I must exercise. You don't understand how important it is to keep slim.
But great snakes alive. If you get any slimmer, you'll fade right away.
You're mad, Mary, really. Why, you can't do it. You're not getting enough food to keep you going if you walk as much as you do.
You're not getting any nourishment to build you up your energy. You have to conserve what little you have. You're just exhausting yourself.
I'm all right. I must do it. I must keep my figure. I'll be back in a little while to finish sorting the rice.
Oh, she's really crazy. She'll kill herself.
She will, too.
I know I'm starting to find the slightest physical exertion makes me terribly tired.
Well, of course. We just haven't got much stamina. Wish we could make Mary see sense.
Well, there's nothing much we can do about it. We keep on telling her.
Perhaps if we get Dr. McDowell to speak to her, it might do some good.
Blow me down. Look what I found in the rice.
Hmm?
What is it?
A tooth.
Oh, Jeff, it can't be. Let's look.
There it is, a fine eye tooth.
Well, now we've had everything. Goodness knows where this has come from.
Mm-hmm. We'll give this lot an extra boil, I can tell you. Whatever next? Teeth in the rice.
A few days later, Mary collapsed from overexhaustion and malnutrition. Dr. McDowell decided that she should go to the Charitas Hospital in Palembang, about 3 miles from here.
This hospital is run by Dutch nuns and doctors for all the prisoners. It's a small and awful place, and to get there, women from our camp are taken on Wednesdays in an ex-British ambulance. It doesn't matter how many of us are ill. If we have to go to hospital, we're bundled and packed into the ambulance until sometimes its sides are bulging. No matter what happens, it only comes once a week, and if you're not very quick to get into it, it goes without you. Mary had 2 days to wait before she could be taken to hospital, and on the Tuesday morning, I woke up feeling pretty sick.
Come on, Jeff, rise and shine. You'll be late for breakfast.
Oh, I don't feel so hot.
What's the matter, old thing?
Oh, I don't know. A mixture of malaria and dysentery, I think.
Oh, we'd better get Dr. McDowell to have a look at you.
Oh, she's got enough to do. I'll stay on boiled water for the day. That'll probably clear it up.
Don't be an ass, Jeff. You might as well go over to the hospital in the ambulance tomorrow.
Oh, if nothing else, it's a change of scene.
All right. Ask Dr. McDowell if she's got time to have a look at me.
I'll nip over now and tell her.
I think you'd better go into hospital, Sister Jeffrey. As you know, there's absolutely nothing here to give you. I've been warning the Japs that we'd have an outbreak of dysentery and malaria if they didn't do something about it. So far, we've been fairly lucky. But things are looking a bit grim now. I've had to send quite a few dysentery cases to hospital. And now the malaria seems to be getting a hold, too.
I could spit chips. I felt all right yesterday.
Never mind. You can have a nice rest.
I'll see that your name's on the list with patients to go into the ambulance tomorrow. Now, eat a little rice if you can today, and of course boiled water. Well, that's about all we can do for you. I'll look in again this evening.
Thanks, Dr. McDowell.
The ambulance is just coming in the gates. We better get you out, Jeff, otherwise you'll miss the bus.
I feel so darn weak.
Oh, come on, old thing. We can give you a hand.
Yes, come on.
Come on. That's it. Come on.
Zamascale, all sick, get into ambulance quickly.
Come on, Jeff. Come on, quickly. Mary's already in.
We bumped and swayed about in the ambulance, being thrown together, and a couple of times nearly being thrown out the wildly swinging doors. By the time we got to the hospital, most of us were more dead than alive and were only half conscious of what was happening to us. When I finally started to take an interest in things again, I found myself jammed between two women on a sort of shelf made of slats. The girl on my left was Mary. She was watching me, and when she saw I was conscious, she said,
"Hello. I thought you were never going to wake up."
How long have I been asleep?
Ever since we were brought in here yesterday.
Oh. And how do you feel?
Tired. I'm so terribly tired.
Well, I don't wonder. You've exhausted yourself with all this slimming nonsense.
It isn't nonsense, Jeff. It's very serious. You see a mannequin, especially one doing high fashion work, depends on having a good figure. 1 ounce of fat in the wrong place and you're finished.
Listen, sweetie. From now on, you don't have to worry about your fat showing. You're going to have trouble to stop looking like a clothes horse. I imagine it's just as important to have some flesh on your bones and not look like an animated skeleton.
But all this fuss, it's just starch.
Look, can't you get it into your head that there isn't enough nourishment in the little scrap of rice we get to keep your body normally fed? You've got to have... Oh, for heaven's sake, what's that?
What?
I don't know, I put my hand into something. Wait a bit. It's a bowl of rice. Yours?
Yes. I saved it from breakfast. I'll eat it for my lunch.
Don't we get anything to eat at lunchtime?
Oh, yes. We get 3 bowls of rice a day.
Then why are you saving this?
I'll eat it for lunch. Keep the bowls they give us then for tonight.
But for heaven's sake, why?
I like to keep 1 meal ahead. That doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, yes, you little fathead. Of course it matters. Listen, this rice is now bad. It goes bad in about 2 hours. And when you eat it when it's bad, it gives you dysentery. What are you trying to do? Kill yourself?
No, no. But I must keep my figure. Don't you understand? I must keep my figure. They won't let me walk here, so I've got to be careful of what I eat. Always watch your figure, girls. A good mannequin must have line. She must keep her muscles firm. Get plenty of exercise. Walking is one of the best things. Walk with your shoulders straight. Remember your deportment. That's what you have to do, and that's what they tell you you have to do. Standing light, head up a little, not so far. Just lift that elbow. Walk with grace, Mary. Never forget the flow. That look, elegance. Keep your figure, Mary. Always keep your figure. Must.
Poor kid. She was so determined to keep her figure, she died trying to keep it.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.